Amen. Thank you, Sergio. Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. I know many of you, and just good to see a lot of new faces as well. Just a little brief background on who I am. I am David Abeda, and back in 1976, I got saved while attending Cal State Long Beach. My roommate was Ruben Salazar, and the two of us didn't have a church. And Ruben said, "Hey, my brother and my sister found a really nice church in East LA. Let's go check it out." So his brother was Art Salazar and Beatrice. So we went to visit First Fundamental Bible Church on Michigan and Gage, referred to as the Holy Land by Pastor. And for the last 37 years, every single Sunday I've been at church at First Fundamental. For the last 25 years at our church in La Puente, which is pretty much just an extension of this church. So really we're one church family. So when I come here, it's kind of like coming home. We get along great, our churches, except during Awana competition. And then you stay on your side of the gym and we're on our side. After it's all over, though, we shake hands and everything's okay, I think. So I've been here a long time. I was counting the years, and Sergio mentioned it, 37 years. It's enough to get you depressed. Art, where's the time gone? Some of these kids up here, what are you feeding these guys? They're giants. One of them used to be in our nursery at La Puente, and he was known as the biter. He'd bite all the other kids. They wanted to put a Dr. Lecter mask on him. I won't mention who, but time marches on, doesn't it? Time marches on. I'm going to speak on something kind of different today. I'm usually an expository preacher, just like Pastor Montoya. I start in John 1 and go through the end of the chapter and don't miss any verses. But today I'm the special speaker, so I'm going to do a special message. I'm going to speak on the topic, why I love FFBC. I'm going to do that for two reasons. There's a lot of old pillars here, the vanguard that have been here for years and years, and I just want to come alongside you and affirm to you that you have a very exceptional church. And for all the new people, I want to give you a perspective. I want to give you some history. I want to give you the long view of this church, because I want you to put roots down here. And I don't want you to be like many that I know who have left our churches and gone on to greener pastures, only to realize that there's weeds over there. You know, anyone that has ever left First Fundamental, they've never been able to reduplicate the experience. I'm telling you the truth. They've never, ever been able to duplicate the experience of what they had here with us. The depth of relationships, the warmth of fellowship, the excitement of ministry. Going to this church has always been a highlight of their life. And I wonder why they left in the first place. Why they left in the first place. Well, I want you to really come along with me as we talk about why I love First Fundamental Bible Church and why I want you to love it as well. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for many of my old friends that are here that go back many, many years. Thank you, Lord, for all the new faces that are here. Bless them, Lord, and bless this church. This is a rather new endeavor, this beautiful property. It's expansive, it's well established, and it takes a lot, all hands on deck to really keep it going. Bless Pastor Montoya As he speaks in New York this week, give him good health and strength. Surround him, Lord, with able and faithful and loyal men and women here, Lord, that make this church go. Thank you, Father. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. What time is the service over? 12? 11:45, right? 11:45. All right, let me get a beat on that clock back there. I had to watch it, but who stole it? All right. Why I love this church. Well, let me take you to 2 Corinthians. All my reasons are in 2 Corinthians, and I have about six of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 is the first reason why I love First Fundamental. When you're there, say amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints. Paul, an apostle, and Timothy, our brother. Now here's the question. Why does Paul mention Timothy? Why does he single out Timothy? Well, I believe that chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians gives us a clue as to why he singled out Timothy there in 2 Corinthians. So in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 10, we've got to read through the lines here, but there's something going on. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work, as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. Now what's going on here? If Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid. Why would Timothy be afraid to go to the church at Corinth? Why would I be afraid to come to FFBC? Well, there was something going on with the church and with Timothy. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul wants to reaffirm his loyalty, his support of Timothy. And that's why he said, in writing to the Corinthians in the second letter, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, and Timothy. He is my Timothy. I want to support him, and I want you all to know that he is my man. And I want you to treat him well. And I want to elevate him. I want to support him. And I want all the church of the Corinthians to know that Timothy is special. Now, the first reason why I love FFBC is because I love Pastor Montoya. He's been my pastor for all these years. All these years. Now, Pastor Montoya has many Timothys. I'm one of them. I am one of his Timothys. I have been with him all these years, and he has mentored and been a role model and a friend to me. And he's always been there, and he's always just a phone call away. Let me tell you a couple stories about Pastor and his support of me. I believe back in 1979, boy, I'm dating myself. I get myself depressed. You weren't even born. I was in charge of the Mexicali Outreach Ministry. And we would go monthly down to Mexico and do missionary work. And we'd take two full vans filled with people and go down there to the mission field, and I was the coordinator. I was in charge of this ministry. Well, one of these trips, I'm not sure if you were there, Art, I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to swim in the canals because they're very dangerous and people drown in canals all the time. But all the Mexicans were doing it, so I said, I want to be a good missionary and do what they do. So I jumped in and started to, drown. That's why you're not supposed to swim in them. I was drowning because the water sucks you in and you can't get out. And I was thinking, this is the terrible way to die in 3 feet of water. Because the pressure just pulls you. And this 15-year-old kid climbs down and reaches over and pulls me by my hair. His name was Ozzy Arvelo, who's our sound man. Give me a little bit more juice, Ozzy. And he pulls me out just enough to where I can lunge for the metal railings and pull myself out. Well, in so doing, I hit the railings and cut my head open. You need to go to the emergency in the United States side. And they stitched me up. And I told the whole team, don't say a word about this to Pastor or anybody over there. Shh, mum's the word. This never happened. And they all vowed to silence. Well, I get a call that week. I think it was Rosemary's pastor's secretary. Pastor Montoya wants to see you. I said, oh, man, somebody ratted me out. I don't know if it was Ozzy or who it was. Were you on that trip? You were there. Maybe it was Art. And I go, he's going to take my ministry. I love this ministry. I live for this stuff. That's all I really like. I just love taking trips to Mexico. And he's going to take it from me. I know it. For being irresponsible. Go into his office. I'm hiding my head. He says, how's your head? He knows everything. Don't try to hide from this man. He knows things that go on in La Puente. How? Maybe he has spies. I don't know, but he knows everything. I said, it's fine. He said, you know what, Dave, you're doing a really good job, but you need to be more responsible, and I want you to be more careful. That was it. That was it. He admonished me gently. He let me know that he knew and was watching me, and he didn't take the ministry. And I was so happy. He had trust in me. And he's always had that, and that's why I love him. He had faith in me. I was taking his seminary class when I went to Talbot Seminary. He taught beginning Greek, and I said, all right, I'm going to sign up for my pastor's class. Maybe he'll be easy on me. Well, I had a graveyard job. I worked all night, punched out, and went to seminary. It was an early class, and I found myself sitting in the back like I usually do because I'm not a great student. You know, I went to Wilson High School, and I found myself nodding out, falling asleep because I hadn't slept. Now, this started to be a problem because I was failing his class. How embarrassing is that? And I'd have to sneak out the class. I'd wait strategically to where he was talking to other students. And like a rat, I'd sneak out. Now on Sunday, it was harder because I had to avoid him. I'd sit up in the balcony. And I said, you know, I can't keep living this way. I've got to drop his class. And he's going to be upset and disappointed with me. This is beginning Greek. I dropped his class, and you know, he said, you know, Dave, I understand your situation. I know you're working a lot. Just take it in summer. You can do it. Supportive. Supportive. I thought he was going to be very disappointed, upset with me. I embarrassed him, this and that, but he was very supportive. One last story. Are these boring you? One last one. Back in 1985, Pastor wanted to start a church. He got the church planting bug. And he had this real estate friend that would take him and I all over the place looking at vacant buildings for sale. I'd tag along. I'd hang out with him because the real estate man always bought us a really good lunch. You know, Pastor and I, we go to McDonald's. This guy'd take us to restaurants. And one day he took us to this church in La Puente. And we looked at it, came back home to Finley, and he said, you know what, let's go back ourselves. So we jumped into his Dodge Dart. What year was that? 74 Dodge Dart. We'd get into his Dodge Dart and drive back. And he's sitting there in the parking lot. We're sitting in his car. He's just quietly looking at the building, meditating, thinking. You know, he's quiet. He goes, you know what? We're going to buy this building. I said, really? And you're going to be the pastor. I said, I like what I'm doing here. I was in charge of YSA and the School of Ministry. He goes, no, it's time for you to go. You're going to be the pastor. He saw something. Supportive. Always supportive. Pastor Montoya has always been supportive to his Timothys. And I love this church because I always think of Pastor Montoya. Been around a long time. And I love him, and he's just he's just a wonderful man. I'm amazed at him still after all these years, how he's able to juggle all these things and still be so calm. We go to lunch and I'm finished with my food and he's just relaxing, eating his food. And I'm just sitting there because I've already gobbled mine down. Calm, peaceful, never harried, never out of sorts. He's just a really awesome man. Down to earth. Down to earth. I picked him up one time. I'm telling you a lot of stories, because we don't have to be done real quick here. I'll get back to the message right now. I picked him up for some reason. But I said, Pastor, my passenger seat doesn't stay up. I guess he didn't mind. Yeah, I picked him up, I don't know from where. So I was a little bit embarrassed, but he just kind of reclined on it. And, you know, we're driving around. He's kicking back there and I'm driving and, you know, I'm talking, you know, we're having a conversation and said, let's get some coffee. Cause, you know, he loves coffee. So we get some coffee to go and, you know, we're drinking coffee and he's kicking back down there with his coffee, sips it and lays back down and just relax. He didn't mind. He didn't mind. Down to earth. Down to earth. I love FFBC. I love your pastor. I want you to love him too. Here's another reason. I love FFBC because this is a comforting church. Look at verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. Why does he do that? Read on. So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We have afflictions. We have sufferings. We have trials and tribulations. And we are comforted by God so that we can take that comfort and know how to comfort others. Ever wonder why God has allowed so much suffering in your life? God, why did you let me go through these things? Because now you can comfort others. This church is a comforting church. When I was a widow, this church reached out to me and comforted me and helped me get back on my feet. This church is a comforting church. When we were having trouble with one of our kids, I said, I need some help. Who am I going to call to help me? I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to have it all together, but I'm having trouble with one of my kids. Well, I called Danny and Yoli Parker. I said, hey, can you help me out with one of my kids? You know, your uncle and aunt. Sure. I was weeping. I was broken. Sure, bro, no problem. Right now. Just like that. Why? That's the way this church runs. This is a comforting church. You have problems, you have afflictions, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. Down to earth, it's like a hospital here. Okay, it's like a hospital. Sometimes maybe like a mental hospital, who knows? But It's for people to come and get better. Now, hopefully there's some doctors around. You can't all be patients. But this is a beautiful place. Now, I love FFBC thirdly because what you've got here is a beautiful blend. A beautiful blend of holiness and grace. What is holiness? Well, holiness is trying to keep God's righteous, inflexible standards. We try, we fail many times, and that's where grace comes in. Holiness is emphasized. Righteousness is emphasized. God's word is emphasized. And that's the standard. But when you fall short of the standard, there's grace. This church has it both. It's a beautiful blend. It's like a Starbucks special, a beautiful blend. Right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow, not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much, to all of you. This was a sinning man. This was a man that was sinning in the church. Paul says he caused us sorrow. You ever have any of those? Sure you have. They caused sorrow to the church. This man was disciplined by the church, maybe excommunicated. But verse 6, sufficient for such a one is this punishment, which was inflicted by the majority. At a business meeting, the majority voted to put this man out of the church, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. He repented. He came back and said, sorry. What do you do in a case like that? You comfort, you forgive him. Otherwise, one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. You've got righteous standards that sometimes involve church discipline, but then you've got forgiveness and comforting, the repentant one. That's what the cross is really all about. What is the cross? Why did Jesus go to the cross? Jesus went to the cross to uphold the holiness of God, to fulfill His righteous standards, because in the righteous law of God, He says the soul that sins must die. Somebody's got to pay the price. Somebody's got to bear the guilt, and His Son took that. At the cross, Jesus upheld the righteous standards of God, enabling God to be gracious, forgiving. I love this church because there's a lot of forgiveness and love here. But it's not a free-for-all. It's not do whatever you want. There's God's word you got to deal with. There's holiness. There's purity. But there's also redemption and forgiveness. You know, sometimes people say about our churches, oh, they're a bunch of legalists. You're crazy. You don't know. This is so much grace. There's no legalism. It's all about grace here. It takes a lot to get in trouble here. Now, here's another reason why I love this church. Because this church is filled with people that have a no-quit attitude. Have an attitude that we're going to make it work. Now, I applaud you because you took on a major, monumental, mammoth task of this property. It's amazing what you've done here. It's a huge effort. It's a major endeavor. You've got a whole gym. You've got a big sanctuary. You've got all these classrooms and bathrooms here and there and there. And where's all the trees? You guys cut them down? That's all right. It looks better this way. Cleaner. No more cutting down. You got to plant a few in their place just for guilt. It takes people that have some grit and some pluck and some faith and some stick-to-itness to take on a task like this and make it work. You guys have that. Look at chapter 3, verse 4. This is the kind of spirit that I see here. always have. 3 verse 4. Such confidence. 3 verse 4, 2 Corinthians. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves. Who are we? We're not adequate to consider anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. You're confident and you're adequate. Not only that, but verse 12. It says right here, therefore having such hope, we use great boldness in our speech. You're hopeful. You're filled with faith. You have visions, but you know, I'm thinking about Pastor again. There's a lot of men that are visionaries. Big dreams, big visions, but they don't have the pragmatism to make their visions come true. Pastor has both those. He's a visionary, he thinks big, but he's pragmatic. He knows how to make it happen. So do you, the members of this church. You know what it takes. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. You ever feel like this? Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. Verse 8, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despairing. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Keep getting back up. Take a licking, but keep on ticking. Today's mighty oak is just yesterday's little nut that held its ground. Now, I don't know if you've had that experience here, feeling discouraged sometimes. I think about a situation back when we started La Puente. Everybody came over to help. Packed house, the first day, packed house. I go, wow, they must think I'm a great preacher. It's going to be a mega church here. God has a way of humbling you. And then, a lot of people left. How could you leave? You're leaving me alone with this huge mortgage. Who's going to take care of this place? How could you say you're going to come and help, and then when it gets a little tough, you leave? There's only one person there at that church that had my permission to leave. That was Toby Mendibles. I said, Toby, I want you to leave. I want you to go back to Finley and find yourself a good wife. And then come back. But last I heard, he's still an elder here. This is a confident church. It takes people that have vision to make this thing work. Make this thing work. It's all enthusiasm when it starts, but then the reality sets in. Oh, there's a lot of work here. There's a lot of work here. There's a lot of bills, a lot of money. I think I'm going to go find me another church. Find some reason to slip out. Oh, there's not enough love here. Oh, there's nothing for the youth here. I've heard all those excuses. Just excuses. Sometimes I'll get somebody from here going over to La Puente. And I'll tell them, you know, I appreciate your interest in our church, but I really think you need to go back to Pastor Montoya. I really think you need to go back to FFBC Whittier because they need you there. Matter of fact, I don't appreciate you being here. How can you leave them? They need you there. Go back. Go back and make it work. And then some people leave, and they don't leave quietly. They get on the phone. Right? Ever met any of them snakes? They get on the phone. Hey, come over here. Come over here. Come with me. Anyway, I don't want to get myself upset. Here's another thing why I love this church. I love this church because you're here and you are serious about ministry. Praise God. You're serious about taking care of the responsibilities here. And I think about Pastor Montoya. I go, you got to take care of him. These folks that sometimes slither over there, over the hill to me. I go, you know, Pastor, he could be retired by now. He took on this vision as a senior citizen when most men are just thinking about moving to Florida to play golf. He doesn't play golf or go mountain biking or hiking. Now you stick with him all the way. That's why I love this church. There's lots of people that have stuck with it. Here's another reason I love this church, because of the long-standing friendships I have with many people here. There's something very special about having long-standing relationships, long-standing friendships. Look at verse 16 of chapter 4. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, in other words, we're getting older. Don't rub it in. We're getting older, though. These big brutes up here singing, they were all little infants last time I saw them. Now they look like football players. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Our outer man is decaying. But you know what? We're decaying together. We're decaying together. We're getting older together. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. There's something about being together, growing with a group of people that is very rich. There's a lot of folks that I grew up with that are now retiring. I come around here sometimes in the afternoon, you know, a couple times, and I see a lot of men here that are retired working. I see Ernie Morales walking around here. He's always here. I think he may live in his office. He's in charge of Sunday school, right? He's always here. He's retired, right, Ernie? I think about Marcelino. I saw him on a ladder last time I was here with a work belt strapped around him doing some electrical work. There's always men around here volunteering. They're retired, but they're here because their outer man is decaying, but the inner man being renewed day by day. Day by day. I love this church because of all the long-standing friendships of people that have stuck it out over the years that are still here. That's beautiful. That's rich. That's rich. A couple years ago, I heard a rumor that Simon had left. And I was depressed. I said, not Simon. Not Simon. Maybe him, but not Simon. He can't leave. He's a fixture. He is FFBC in my mind. He was there before I went. I was at the church. It was just an ugly rumor. I checked it out. It was false. Checked some sources out. So I don't know where he heard that, but it's false. He's not going anywhere. Anywhere. We're all on this journey together. If you're new here, let me tell you, put roots down. If you want to get something out of a church, you got to put roots deeply down. You got to invest in your church if you want it to be rich and rewarding. If you're just a pew warmer, if you're just kind of going along for the ride, if you're not really serving and working and praying and giving to your church, you're not getting all you can. You know, the most pathetic creature in the world is church hoppers. They go to this church, they go to that church, they go over there. It's like a smorgasbord to them. But it's never, they never really feel like this is my church. That's what you want to feel. This is my church. I've got blood in this church. Cut me open. What do you see? You'll see FFBC. If you're new, that's what you got to do. You've got to spend 37 years in the same church. Oh, how narrow. How limiting. No, that's, life goes by really quickly. We're on this journey together. And this church is beautiful because there's a lot of people that have been here for the duration. And you're going to die here, right? Where else is there? And everybody's going to go to your funeral and rejoice and say a lot of good things about you that won't be lies, because they're all true. Now, here's another one. I love this church, FFBC, because It's a very generous church. You know, most churches are very insular. They're concerned with the four walls, us four and no more. This church is very generous. It's kind of like in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. They were a generous church just like this. I think about some examples. This church funds the seminario. ¿Cómo se llama la iglesia, escuela? Seminario Fundamental. It used to be called School of Ministry, I could say that. But now it's Seminario Biblico Fundamental that trains men to be pastors and start churches. Well, who pays for that? Pretty much this church. They pay for that. You do. How about all the church planting over the years? Who pays for that? Well, this church. I mean, when you cut off a whole bunch of people to go over there, that's a lot of tithes and offerings going. Why do you do that? Because you're generous. The Eddie Torres fundraiser that sends men to seminary to be pastors. Who pays for that? This church. This church. I wish that was around when I was going through seminary. Maybe I can apply retroactively. Think the elders would go with that, Art? They might. Could try. Because that's expensive. Going to seminary is expensive. But now you got scholarships for men that are serious about going into them. Who pays for that? This church. Who pays for the summer youth baseball league that other churches can go enjoy? Who pays for those lights? Who pays for the... Can you imagine you charge $30, you get a t-shirt, you get a trophy, you get a whole summer full of baseball under the lights? Who pays for that? This church. This church is generous. It's a generous church. That's why God has blessed you. Because you are generous people. You're like the church right here we just read about. FFBC is generous. Finally this. I love FFBC. Because over the years it has maintained that which many other churches start to lose. What is that? An evangelistic fervor. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 18. Evangelism. You're starting your new WIN program, I heard, on the announcements. You just had an Operation Good News a couple of weeks ago. You're going to have this Halloween, Harvest Festival deal. Invite the neighbors. You've got car shows here too, don't you? You got car shows and you invite the neighbors. You've got a lot of things. It's evangelistically driven. Chapter 5, verse 18. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I believe you still have that spirit. We beg you, be reconciled to God. We beg you, make peace with God. We beg you, before you die, get saved and be a child of God. We beg you, get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We plead with you. We beg with you. You're a sinner. You're going to hell without Christ. We beg you. I think you still got that here. Where you actually feel bad about unsaved people. You know, in 37 years, I've heard a lot of sermons from Pastor Montoya and I guess my own. There's one sermon that I've never forgotten, though. And I heard this sermon 36 years ago. And I've never forgotten this sermon. And it's out of Romans chapter 9. When Pastor was preaching on evangelism out of Romans chapter 9, and I remember it as if it was yesterday. I've forgotten a lot of the other ones. But this one stayed in my mind. And on the earlier service, one of the gals that was back way back then, she said she remembers that too. It was this one. And I remember it because Pastor started to cry. I'd never seen him cry. Well, I hadn't been there that long. He started to cry when he read this verse. Chapter 9, verse 1. I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Oh, Paul said, I wish that I could be accursed in your place. I wish I could go to hell in your place because I love you, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And Pastor started to weep. It's one of the only sermons I remember. Way back then. Because of that heartfelt fervor and desire and grief to see people saved. To feel so badly like Paul that if I could go to hell in your place, I would. But I can't. I can't be your substitute. There is only one substitute. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins so that you can live for eternity. And if you're here today and you're not saved, in God's universe, somebody pays for sin. You either pay for your sin by yourself for all eternity in hell, or you allow Jesus Christ to pay for it for you. What's your choice? What are you going to do? You want to pay? Somebody pays. Either you pay or let Christ pay. I love FFBC because it's maintained this evangelistic fervor all these years. Keep it going. Keep it going. I'm here today as an old friend to many of you, maybe a new friend to some of you, just to tell you how much I love this church and how special it is. Not just to me, but to many, many people out there. You got a really special thing going here. Keep it going. Keep it special. Continue to put your roots down deeply. It's a special church, and you don't find those very often. May God richly bless you, and thank you for allowing me to come and to speak to you. Brother Sergio, can you come and close us?
Thank you, Pastor Abeda, for helping us to remind us how blessed we are. Amen? And sometimes we need to water our own grass and not look over. Sometimes we think it's greener on the other side and it's not. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, again, for allowing us to gather this morning, Father, to hear a message from you. And we ask, Lord, as we depart from this place, Lord, that You would help us to be more Christ-like, Lord, to be a shining light for you in this dark world. And we also lift up our brother David and his family, Lord, and may you continue to bless him and his ministry, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.